he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Good morning, gal. It's March 2018. Everyone out there, this is He Said, She Said. We're raring to go, and I wonder what's happening out there in the world. What is special about March, Tracy?
It's springtime coming.
Man.
And you shaved that dang beard off.
My winter beard? You don't like my beard, do you?
Not particularly, no. You have such a handsome face. Why cover it up?
Why I cover it up, so I don't frighten people. They can't stand the sheer beauty. No, I like my beard, and it's kind of a cool look. But it's a winter beard. I started on the first day of winter, and it comes off on the first day of spring. It actually lightens the load and gets me, like, my velocity will increase when I throw the hammer, when I remove the extra weight.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, right on. So I know you've got some interesting things on your mind today. What's cooking?
Well, what's cooking is onions. And, you know, we go out for lunches, or you go to people's house, or most people don't eat a lot of onions from, I mean, maybe it's just the people that I associate with, but I find when I go to a restaurant and I order a salad, there's no raw onions in the salad. And I don't know if it's because people can't digest them, the raw onion, or I don't start, they don't like the flavor of them, or some of them are too hot if you get into the red onion. But we eat a lot of onions, don't we? We have like onions every day in our salad, and I just love them. I mean, there's so many varieties of onions. There's the red onion, which is quite hot, spicy. Then there's the yellow onion and the white onion, and then there's the Maui onion, which is very sweet. You could even eat that like an apple. But I just find that there's not enough onions going around. And so there you have it. You like onions too, don't you?
Well, I learned a long time ago about mitogenic radiation as it was known then. Now you're going to talk about maybe something about the sulfur compounds. But yeah, there's Gurvitch rays that are generated from garlic and onions. And they are crucial to consume because of their benefits to the immune system, to helping scour the environment for antigens and microbes, because they're antimicrobial, they're antibacterial. They have a lot of really cool health properties.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So it's more active in the raw state, the onion. So it's best to eat it raw rather than cooked. It contains an organic sulfur compounds in that volatile oil, and it's which provides a lot of health benefits, and is partially destroyed when you heat it. But when you eat it raw, the juice can act as an irritant, and some people find it difficult to digest. And I've heard people say this before, like Ruby has a hard time eating raw onions. And I think, oh, what a shame. But you can cook them very lightly, like not overcook them, and still get some health benefits from it. But I'm very fortunate. I mean, if I ate like a whole red onion, I mean, my stomach would be burning. But you can bake onions in their skin in a similar way, like you do potatoes, and they're delicious. They are also high in potassium, magnesium, B6, and vitamin C. And there's no fat in them at all. So that's a good thing. So also very, what was known is about onions, where they were historically as a preventative medicine during epidemics of cholera and plague. And they apparently were eaten by the Roman Emperor Nero as a cure for the colds. And its reputation has made onions a popular component in the diets of many countries. So there you have it. So what do we say? Garlic is king and onions are queen. So you should put them into your diet a little bit more if you're not really an onion eater.
Yep, I have a serving every day. I like to get a serving of garlic as well. And it's just generally good for arterial function and artery health. Anyone out there concerned about hardening of the arteries, which we should all be concerned, because that's a natural process that occurs over time. And it accelerates in many, many people beyond what it should because of their nutrition habits and lifestyle, etc. But if you're on top of your game, work some garlic and onions into the diet so that you can stave off a lot of what people associate with flus and colds, and even use it to treat it. Like an onion garlic soup, for example, is a great old folk remedy.
Also, there's spring onions, there's leeks, shallots, chives. If you can't handle like a regular yellow, white, or red onion, there's different types of onions that you can have that are a little bit milder, but still get them into your system. It's a wonderful, wonderful food to be eating. You don't have to eat them every day, but try to get them into your diet as much as you possibly can. That's one thing I do miss when we were out for dinners, when we travel. I go, nobody puts onions in the salads when you go to a restaurant. It must be because of the smell, because people's breath smells.
Oh, for sure. It's the odor. It's a social issue. And again, what we do is we disregard the health benefits for the social aspect instead of allowing that to override it. And then, you know, using chlorophyll or parsley and other aspects of hygiene to manage the odor. But if everyone's on the garlic and onions, which is what ideally they could be or should be, you know, when you cut onions and your eyes start watering, well, there's an example of these Gerwitz rays. It's like an oxidative ray that extends and goes upward into your eyes, which causes them to tear. So imagine that in your gut and in your arteries and your blood. And that is what is destroying and countering the effects of infective microbes. It doesn't work to hurt your natural healthy cells. It just has this specific attribute of management inside the body when it comes to protecting cells from foreign materials.
Right, exactly. So just eat a little bit of parsley or have chlorophyll gum and you're set. And, you know, eat away. You know, if you don't eat onions, but you want to get them into your diet, try a small amount first. Don't eat a whole onion. Like I buy a red onion and that red onion usually lasts us about four salads because it's quite hot. They're quite spicy. So I just use a little bit. I add them into eggs. I add them into every salad that we have. We go through onions like crazy. So try to get more onion into your diet, and you'll be glad that you did.
Yeah, they actually used to put onions in socks and garlic, and then you can actually smell the garlic and onions coming from the body. But another thing that is good is eat onions at night, like when you're at home. Put them in your salad, and then when you're sleeping at night, the odor will come through. It'll be metabolized, and then you don't have to worry about the odor if that's a big concern for the rest of the day.
That's right. There you have it.
All right. Cool.
All right.
Cool. So moving on now, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest interview was Nina Teicholz. Nina is an investigative journalist and author of the International and New York Times bestseller, The Big Fat Surprise. Nina attended Yale and Stanford, where she studied biology and majored in American studies. She has a master's degree from Oxford University and served as an associate director of the Center for Globalization and Sustainable Development. So she is something else, I tell you. And if you want more about Nina's bio, please check our website at coreyhawley.com. Well, I guess she never really did too much journalism on nutrition studies until she was asked by an editor of a gourmet magazine to talk about trans fats. And that's when she got into, I think it was 2006 or 2008, so it's been quite a while that she's been into nutrition science, is when she had a revelation about nutrition. And now she's hooked on it and a best-selling author. So that was an very, very interesting interview.
Well, she also knows and really likes Gary Taubes, who wrote Good Calories, Bad Calories, Why We Get Fat. And the one I just read recently was A Case Against Sugar. Now, he's an investigative journalist, too, with a science background. His is more physics. Nina is more biology. But these people are objective. They do the research. They take a long time to unravel the mystery and find out, you know, how information was suppressed or blocked, or how people with corruption and lobbying and lawyers and attorneys and all this fudge and fickle the data. And then they're able to persuade huge amounts of people, like the entire American population, into thinking things like that sugar is good and fat is bad, for example. So what they both discovered and what Nina points out is that everything you think about nutrition, if this is how you think that a low-fat diet is good or that sugar is okay, you're absolutely wrong, and the opposite is true.
Well, what was interesting is, like you said, you asked her, like, why were people so persuaded by this fellow? What was his name? Ansel?
Ansel Keys.
Ansel Keys. because he was very charismatic and could sell people as well. And she said that people in America, most of them were immigrants, and they were new to the country, they'd left home, and they didn't have grandma nearby to help them answer their food questions. Because usually old granny had all the answers, and food was medicine, and medicine be your food. And so they would listen to this new science or this charismatic fellow. She says, what you want to do is doubt your beliefs, challenge yourself, disprove your beliefs. You know, don't always believe everything that you hear. And we know that, but it's really good to hear it again by somebody who is as well-educated as she is, right? It's good to hear that. She also studied Weston Price, who was a dentist, and he's the fellow who studied how food affects your teeth. And the teeth is like a horse, right? They always check the horse's teeth to see how healthy the horse is. And also she talked about cholesterol from fat is a myth. And it's really important to get the, now we're talking about high quality food here. So you want to get the highest quality eggs, shellfish, and liver, which was, I was happy to hear about. She's into liver because that's what I like. Saturated fat is not associated with heart disease, and it's good for you. Now, again, we want to qualify the source of fat that you're getting, right, Corey?
Yep. Yeah, let's be clear that the cholesterol from fat is not a myth. Cholesterol is in fat in animal foods. It's not a myth that it's there. It's just the myth and the misled direction that's affected people and created a huge business for checking cholesterol and frightening people with elevated cholesterol into using statin drugs. That's all bullshit. So the relationship between cholesterol and food and it being somehow associated with causing heart disease, that's the myth. And you and I have always known that. And thank goodness for the natural health food industry that helped me understand that way back, that liver and shellfish and eggs from good quality food sources prepared correctly were absolutely critical and essential to wellness and health and great for athletes. And yet the entire world, or at least Americans, were being misled into thinking that somehow this beautiful natural food that was used for like hundreds of thousands of years without evidence of damage of any kind was the culprit. And then that's completely wrong. But then you see the connection with business and medicine and big pharma also.
Right, correct. And she talked about William Banting, and he was the fellow that wrote the Letter of Corpulence. And this is one of the first cases. He was a very portly man. He was very heavy and wanted to lose some body fat. He was an Englishman, and he wrote a letter and just about a low-carbohydrate diet. So when you are on a low-carbohydrate diet in South Africa, they call it Banting. So I guess, Corey, you and I are Banting, which means a low-carb diet. It was just very, very interesting, and I just want to thank Nina very much, pushing it on home about a low-carbohydrate diet with high fat works for health, wellness, and loss of body fat. So there you have it. So thank you, Nina. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and I just want to mention, too, like we talked about this yesterday, George Houghton, he passed away a while ago, and he's from England, and he was a young kid during the war, and he remembers the bombings from the Nazis. But during that time, there was rations, and he was literally living on entrails and cow tongue and brains and organs, and that was a primary staple for him, not an occasion. It was like every day, sometimes twice a day. Offal was another one that he mentioned. Now, when he died at 85, and he was functional right to the end. He had a sharp mind. He had a background. He was a forensic engineer, but he had a full head of hair. He had all of his teeth. And this, to me, is an example of some of these old timers who had the best quality diet. Because look at kids today don't even know what liver is, and they've never even thought of eating entrails. And the idea today among the millennials to eat this kind of food is just right off the wall. And yet it's so much better than any other food. Again, high quality sources, but to denigrate this food is wrong. And you're choosing the wrong path. So somehow get some hearts in, get some liver in the diet, because I think this is one of the power foods.
Yeah, we've been talking about liver for a while. I think it's time I better make some liver. So there you have it.
There you go. Good stuff. Okay, so we got a little bit of time left. What's your hot topic?
My hot topic is loud talker. Okay, and there's somebody in mind when I talk about loud talker. Nonetheless, what would you do? Okay, to our listeners out there, what's the right thing to do? When you're having a conversation with someone and that person that you're talking with is got a really loud voice, and the person or the persons next to you hear your conversation, do they have the right to interject and give their opinions about your conversation? Now, I know for me, I wouldn't interject in anybody's conversation because I don't want to get in trouble, because usually that type of conversation is pretty heated. They don't usually have a loud voice. It's usually a heated conversation. Unless it was a really fun, they're talking about flowers, they're talking about dancing, they're talking about something wonderful, then I might make a little comment. But this has happened to you and me time and time again when I go out with you, Corey, because you're a loud talker. People get involved in our conversation, and they're quite rude, actually, right?
They can be, because now what you're making me think is, like, I've done that. I try and do it with a lot of humor, and it has to be the right time, and it has to be in the right place, and the tone of your interaction or interjection has to be right, and because I don't want to violate or interfere or impose or butt in, because I think socially speaking, generally the rule is that you're offside if you come in without invitation. But at the same time, I think that, like, some guy was on the SkyTrain yesterday. He was on the phone. He was so loud. He was screaming, and everybody was being offended by him. And eventually somebody said, hey, shut up, buddy. Man, you're way too loud, because he was so loud that he was being offensive. So that interjection was not about getting involved with his conversation. It was about shutting up, dude, right?
Right.
Because you're too loud. So it's a balance. I mean, socially speaking, there's no actual set law. Like, there's no code that we all read and say, this is how you have to conduct yourself out there in society. Like, if you're in a SkyTrain or at an airport or in a bus or somewhere where there's a lot of people, or at a bank or whatever, how do you conduct yourself? And I think that ultimately, do no harm, use courtesy and kindness whenever possible, and stay out of the way of a moving bus, you know?
I just think that if you're having a conversation with someone, you're having a conversation with that person. So I think I don't want to hear anybody else's conversations. I don't want to hear them. It's none of my business. So when people are talking super loud, and I mean, I can't concentrate or talk to the person I'm talking to because I'm too busy hearing this other person's conversation, and you can't help but hear them because they're so loud. So I just think, out of courtesy to the person that you're talking to, keep it down. You know, talk to that person, right? Hint,
yes.
Hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Corey Hawley.
Right.
And that's it.
That's
right.
It. Okay. I just want to mention, too, I just got back from L.A. with Michael, my son, and his first big Pan Am Jiu-Jitsu competition, which was very interesting. I learned a lot. Fighting martial arts, in many regards, invokes within me a sense of violence. I don't like violence. I don't like pain. I don't like it when people hurt each other without necessity. Like, I get the idea of defending yourself from someone who's attacking you or attacking someone else, but that's only out of necessity. But to initiate force is against my life principle. Even if you want to do something and need to do something, you have no right to do that. But jiu-jitsu is called the gentle art. There's no punching, there's no kicking. Apparently, I've talked to a lot of martial artists, and it is ultimately the kingpin of all of that type of fighting. There is an incredible amount of prestige at the top, and it's very noble. But it was a really cool event, and Michael lost his fight. And the coach, I thought, put it quite nicely. Michael, I'm glad you lost, because you're going to learn a lot from the loss. And if you would have come here and won, you would have learned nothing. And so if you really think about that, think about, for everyone out there listening, the next time you win something, win a competition, if I go and throw the hammer and I win, I have learned virtually nothing about my technique or skill or anything, other than maybe I was on track. But when you lose or don't perform as well as you should, you, through introspection and self-examination, you come to terms with the reasons why, you look at your lifestyle, and then you can take it to another level. So that's interesting. If you have that attitude, if you do lose an event, instead of being all down on it, be up on it, be up on the opportunity to learn and grow and improve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was great what he said about the losing. I like that. I think you're going to be doing an interview with him too, aren't you?
Yes, that led to an SNU, because I want to explore more about the theories and principles and philosophy of the martial arts at the higher level, because I've always been attracted to that kind of thing. Good stuff. Okay, so that's it. What's your final word?
My final word is by Robin Williams. Spring is nature's way of saying, let's party.